Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 25, version 2.
Take two.
As we just hit, I'm going to call it technical difficulties, but the truth is it's purely human error.
Straight user error.
I failed to correctly select the right microphone, and it was unusable audio. So we're doing this again. And topics remain the same. Today, we're going to be discussing the debacle that surrounded the Face app nonsense that's happened over the last week. We're going to re-hit the Belle Delphine discussion from last week as we give a quick follow-up on the latest in her saga with bathwater and all the other fun things. We're going to talk about some brain news, but first with some meditation benefits that Steve found and wanted to bring to light to the audience, as well as a quick discussion around Elon Musk's Neuralink and the plan for that. And then we're going to try to get through all of what was San Diego Comic-Con news and do a quick recap around there. A lot to get through. We're doing it twice. You can listen once. Let's go.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, welcome back, nerds. And let's do this beginning with the Face app.
Yeah, we're gonna try to cut a couple minutes off our time from this last rendition.
We went a little long on the first run. We went a little long, a little over our normal show length. So we're gonna try to get right into it.
Try to shave some seconds off lap two.
So if you didn't pay attention, if you weren't one of the millions of users that went ahead and made yourself look old through Face app, it's an app that's been around for a couple of years. It isn't a new app, but it seems that they've revamped it to where, like, the quality that was coming out of it these last couple of weeks has been remarkable. Like, yeah. HD quality, old ass people.
Yeah, I want to say I downloaded it a couple of years ago when it was like the four pictures. So they made you a girl, they made you a baby, they made you old, and they like cleaned up your ugly ass mug in the present. And they put like four pictures up. So I did that one. So I don't know if the Russians have confiscated me from then, but I definitely didn't partake in this round of it, considering since the first time I did it, I have aged, and I don't want to know what I'm going to look like in 30 years. Like, I really hope I age better than most of these Face app pictures. I've often told my friends I'm in this bitch trying to age like Clooney. So I don't want to see, you know, my George Burns kind of rendition of it.
Yeah. So what it made it come up in the news was it just went viral. Celebrities, all kinds of people having really high quality. Like, I mean,
the pictures are great. I'm not going to deny the technology.
I could go down the street and take a picture of an old person right now and it won't look as good or real as a lot of these Face app things. And
the Gordon Ramsay one was priceless, and the Jonas Brothers ones I really liked too. Those were great.
And so you end up getting this, hits viral, and then all of a sudden you hear on the government side, the Democratic parties are putting out memos to all other people to delete the apps. And then that picks up some steam. And then from there, people start digging into why. And it's because it's a company owned by a Russian company based out of St. Petersburg. And the terms of service allows them to maintain and keep those photos. They store them on servers in Russia. And it was unclear as far as what they can and cannot do with your photos, and whether they even had access to all of the photos in your entire camera roll. So it comes out later that really it's the company states that they delete them within 2 days. Generally, they keep them for speeding it up, but they also do reserve the rights to use your doctored photos for their own advertisements, their own use. I don't know. Nobody trusts the Russians. It's the skeptical nature that a relationship.
Well, at least the Democrats don't.
For sure. For sure. And they should not.
I didn't hear too many people from the other side of the aisle talking about, you know, deleting a Russian app.
Yeah. And then it highlights one. Yeah. Don't trust the Russians. With, you know, who knows? I don't know. We're unlocking phones with our faces these days. Who knows what they're doing with that data and what they
you don't know where this information can lead. You know, we're unlocking phones with faces. We haven't talked about deep fakes on our show yet that much, but if you know anything about what they're doing with these deep fakes, that scares the fucking bejesus out of me. You know, we're in an age where privacy is scarce, and you don't want to just hand people the tools that they're going to need to steal your identity, steal your likeness. You know, so the Jonas Brothers and Gordon Ramsay, like we said, did this, and they uploaded their photos. I mean, you're going to have an oldest Golden Ramsay selling, you know, Campbell's soup in Russia or something now on a billboard.
And it really does beg the question, again, the concept of privacy, in the sense that the a lot of these pictures and stuff being done aren't even on those people's phones, right? I could snag and do a picture of you right now and just upload photos. And that's what's happening. A lot of times people are using other photos of other people to see what it looks like. Well, you don't own the right to my face, but you just gave it to Russia, and I don't own FaceApp.
And now they're taking my biometrics and they're going to...
Yeah, or whatever, or building it into face recognition things. I don't know. You know, we can tinfoil hat this thing and be super skeptics as far as how it can be misused.
Yeah, there's a dude right now with a tinfoil hat camped out at Area 51 waiting for D-Day. That could give you a big lowdown on why you shouldn't use this app.
So in the end, it may be a completely harmless app, but it just begs the question of privacy. You know, why are these companies with these policies even allowed in the App Store, where there's really no real transparency? You've got to be a lawyer on the Democratic National Convention side in order to even understand the fact that, hey, there's some vulnerability in there.
Well, and it brings us to like the attitude of, do we want to get back to like Cold War status of dealing with Russia? Do we just want to say, look, we know they've meddled in our elections. We know they're trying to create discourse in our normal communities through Facebook campaigns and Twitter campaigns. Even if it isn't the Russian government and Putin, we just know that there's a lot of bad shit coming out of Russia and they're really not on our side. So, as us as citizens, do we want to take that in our hands and say, look, we should know who makes these apps and who's using them for what? Or do we want to leave it up to the government to say, like, no, we're not going to allow Russian companies to be able to, you know, is it on iTunes to take it down off the iTunes store? Whose responsibility does this really fall in under? And if it is even a concern, to me, it is a concern. I would like to see the private companies and maybe the government take a leading role in securing, you know, American national security and our citizen security by doing its due diligence into these companies and letting people know, like, no, you shouldn't use this. But then you have the free market question and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
blah.
It's a tough one to crack, and that's why we don't have a solution. But maybe if you've been using FaceApp, you think twice about it, and maybe think twice about what apps you download in the future. But moving on from one realm of photos to another, why don't you explain to us the latest in the saga of Belle Delphine?
So last week we talked about Belle Delphine's bathwater and the ramifications that come from that. Well, a little bit more backstory into what is kind of leading into this is the bathwater stunt wasn't the first trolling of the internet that Belle Delphine did. Her first trolling was that she had announced that if she got a million likes on one of her Instagram photos, she would upload not safe for work content on Pornhub, because the incels and the lonely gamer boys that all love her constantly bombard her with the send nudes. You know, I'm sure there's a million Indian men in India giving her the send bobs, send bobs text messages and DMs. So she got a little fed up with that, and she trolled the world and said, hey, if you give me a million likes on this picture, I'll upload not safe for work content on Pornhub. Well, when you go to Belle Delphine's Pornhub account, it is like Belle Delphine strokes huge cock, and it's sitting with a rooster on her lap. And there's like 13 videos where it's all spoofs like that. So she never doesn't do anything, and people got pissed. Like, people were like super excited that she was going to do this, and they got pissed when she did that. Then she sold her bathwater. So now you have all these incels just up in arms, mad as hell at this 19-year-old girl that's just having a great time. And I applaud her for it. I really do. But they started this reporting campaign on Instagram where thousands of these Redditors and incels were reporting her account for nudity and things like that. And Instagram did come out and say that they don't just ban people for the reporting, that they actually do look into it, but they decided to ban her. And she has 4.5 million followers. And if anybody knows how lucrative 4 million followers can be, she lost a lot of money because people didn't like her sense of humor, basically. And it, to me, that's a very dangerous road that we're treading on. I actually feel sorry for the girl. I didn't really feel too bad for her at first, you know, with her making 40 grand off a tub of bathwater. But in this case, I actually kind of do. You know what I mean? It's really shitty that an angry mob of sexually frustrated people can wield this kind of power. It's kind of a scary notion.
Yeah, and we have talked about this, but but
twice now.
It just comes down to, yes, the mob does have power, but this is the world of being an internet influencer, is that you are also a victim to the influence of the internet. It's not a perfect system, but in the end, if your income is completely based off of how many people like your photos, are coming to your things, so that way you can get your sponsorship deals and everything else, you are a victim to the whims of those 4 million followers and everybody else who probably isn't even your followers might have followed you that day just so they can report you. And it's unfortunate. Wait and see how long it takes Instagram to correct this. If there's truly no pornography, if there's truly nothing in there.
That's what I want to see is how Instagram handles this, because yeah, you can't blame, you know, the internet. The internet's got a bunch of trolls and haters, and they're going to do what they do. And there were a lot of people tweeting that, you know, I reported Belle Delphine, her account got shut down. I feel so good about myself. Like, people were cheering it. It's not that they had a problem with what she was doing. You know, so she really wasn't banned for her content, which is what the basis of it should have been and what Instagram claims it was. And like, we've had Erica Fett on our show, who does the same type of photos, you know, cosplay, burlesque, risky, nude photos where she covers up, you know, herself with pasties and covers up the bits. And she's not banned. She's quite successful and, you know, she was on the show. We support what she's doing. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, right? That's the old saying. Why is Belle Delphine's, post any different than any Insta booty model? Any, you know what I mean? There's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of women out there using their body to generate likes and an income. Why was this the one they felt they had to ban?
Yeah, I mean, it's because a bunch of people were upset with the taste of the bathwater, and they really were expecting some lavender hints in there or something.
All the people that got herpes from drinking bathwater.
And they went to Instagram just to attack her livelihood. And I'm not saying that, you know, the mob and the idiots who are reporting her are appropriate. And I'm not even saying that she's appropriate. I've never gone to her Instagram feed, so I have no idea whether there's things in there that violate her porn.
You hear that, Natalie? You hear that? He's never gone to Belle Delphine's Instagram feed.
Check it. Snoop all you want.
Put the disclaimer out for the wife.
There we go. And I have no idea what an incognito browser even is. So,
you know, but yeah, I see this story continuing, and for our Cantina listeners, I am right here for it for you guys. I will keep you updated on what is going on with Belle Delphine and incels. This is a feud that I'm hoping the women went out on. I'm a real big supporter on women being able to do what they want when they want to. You know, if she feels comfortable doing the things that she does and she's able to make a profit off to it, my hat's off to her. Go ahead, do your thing, girl. And I feel bad that a bunch of shitty, you know, 25-year-old virgins that are mad at the world because they don't know how to talk to women and they, you know, they have the power to cancel out her income. I think it's a real shitty situation.
Yeah, unless she did clearly violate the terms, but I think hopefully Instagram makes it right. If there's no violation there, I understand that it takes time, but hopefully that process works and isn't just banning people without really vetting it out.
Yeah, we'll see. Onto the brain.
Yep.
All right. I came across an article about meditation benefits that were done doing brain studies. Now, I had recently just gotten into meditation. I know Ken was into it a lot before me. Doesn't seem like a nerdy subject. I know a lot of people think meditation's a hippie kind of, spiritual thing, but I got into it because of the nerd aspect. So last week on the Cantina Conversation, we had mentioned some of our favorite podcasts. Sam Harris, Waking Up with Sam Harris was one of my favorite. And, he named it Making Sense. Waking Up is the actual meditation app now. He's a big meditator, and he's a neuroscientist. So he knows everything about the brain that you could possibly know. So if he's seen a benefit in meditating because of brain activity, I thought I should actually at least hear him out. So after listening to a lot of his talks I'm on it, it got me interested, not only because of the brain science behind it, but the fact that folks like Steve Jobs and a lot of these great entrepreneurs and great thinkers of our time all have meditation in common. They all have this mindfulness in common. So I had taken an interest in it, and I do see some benefits. I'm just in the beginning stages, hard for me to fit into my schedule and do what I'm supposed to do, but I'm really giving it a go. And a study came out from scipost.org showing that during brain scans and things like that meditation can have some of the same benefits as confrontation therapy. So when you go into a guided therapy session and you confront a lot of your fears, of whatever they may be, and you tackle those issues in a guided therapy session, meditation actually has the same benefits. They find the brain scans and the studies all have similar results, similar outcomes, and you can do that on your own. And I'm really interested in to see where what science lets us know about meditation.
Yeah, I believe when I do stick to meditation, I don't know why it's so difficult for me to carve out 10 minutes a day just to keep up with the habit and build it in. But I started doing it, just like you said. I did it more from like the business leader standpoint. I didn't know much about the science, but what I did know through reading a bunch of books, one of them specifically being Hal Elrod's Miracle Morning, which he just talks about what a lot of business leaders do to start their day and how, that increases productivity and everything else. And meditation was a big part of what a lot you started to hear again, Steve Jobs, a whole bunch of industry leaders, a whole bunch of thought leaders across the world. They have some level of meditation built into their daily habits. So I figured I'd give it a try, and I found benefit in it. And then, through Sam Harris and other things, you start to hear scientific reasons of benefits. There's something to it. I still don't know what it is. I'm always listening and reading about these things. I do believe that it can provide some benefit on the same level as.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying there's not something spiritual to it, so if that's the reason why you go, if you're a yoga person and you just want to be more mindful, that's the route you can take. But I do see a benefit in being able to shut off that internal monologue. I live in my head all day. I work alone a lot of times. I come home and I find that it's very hard for me to get out of my own head. And as I've said in the past, that creating, the podcast, the website, and getting my thoughts out there help. What also helps is meditating and being more aware of my surroundings and being more involved in conversations, because I'm living more in the present rather than in my own inner monologue. It is something you need to learn how to do. It's not just something that you can pick up right away. So I use the Making Sense app Waking Up app. With Sam Harris. He developed his own meditation app. There's other apps out there that you can use where they guide you and they give you tips on how to get going and train yourself to be able to do these things. It's very helpful, I find.
And for those of you who think that you get out of your head when you meditate, maybe in a 10-minute meditation session, you get like 15 seconds of clarity. The rest of it, you're just battling yourself to get rid of persistent thoughts.
But it makes you aware. It does make you aware.
That's the exercise. That's the benefit of meditation is to suppress, to learn how to suppress, learn how to control that inner dialogue, to understand what creeps up in those moments of silence. And that's really where the benefit is. So if you think that you don't know how to meditate or you hate it because you don't get that clarity, almost nobody does. That's not the point of it.
Yeah. If you're a person that reads like a page in a book and you get to the end of the page and you realize you can't remember one fucking word you read because you're in your fucking head while you're reading, meditation will benefit you. You know, I am one of those people. You know, I have to reread pages in a book sometimes because I got to the second page and I'm like, I don't even remember what the fuck just happened. Like, what was I thinking while I was reading these words? And yeah, if you have that problem at all, meditation will benefit you. And I highly suggest our audience gives it a try.
And then moving on to the next thing that'll benefit your brain. Elon Musk,
tiny Elon wires,
Musk, Neuralink. So if you haven't gotten a chance, I suggest everybody goes and checks out one of the YouTube videos. It's either a recap, like an in-depth technical recap that's showing clips of Elon Musk talking about Neuralink and his team. As he talked about it in his opening, he said one of the reasons why they're doing the Neuralink talk, which was about an hour long, was a recruiting tool. Like, they're just trying to tell everybody what they're doing to get all the other nerdy neuroscientists on board to come and work for them and help, you know, make this thing come to life. But what they're really doing is they've created tiny wires that are at an iteration now that a fiber smaller than a human hair has thousands of electrodes on it, and they put hundreds of those little wires in your head, all in a that's attached to a ribbon that goes to a sensor that has a Bluetooth connectivity to a sensor outside of your skull, which then connects to your phone and gives you brain control, or ideally one day will give brain control of your devices without any physical touching. So the goal is to, our brain can process a whole lot more information. Our phones can actually process a whole lot of information. The thing that slows it all down is swiping our thumb to type out what we want to know, or to get to that app that we want, and waiting for that physical process. And
yeah, fuck voice recognition. I'm just gonna have to think of something. Texting and driving is about to change, folks.
I mean, the honest truth is, if I wanted right now to know what the weather is tomorrow, it's a deliberate process. It takes away brain energy that I need to go in. I gotta grab my phone and I gotta scroll through. I gotta find my weather app and I gotta hit it. It's not a lot of work. Now, if I never even had to say that, all I had to do is think, I wonder what the weather is tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, somewhere in the back of my eyeballs is just an understanding of, yeah, tomorrow's going to, well, I'm in San Diego, I know it's going to be 80 degrees and sunny. But if I wasn't here, then I might want to actually have to look up the weather. And it's the goal is, again, just so that way we have access through our brain directly, the processing power, and create a symbiosis of.
And we already know this is a possible thing. I mean, if you go to a lot of these, you know, I know Radio Shack ain't around anymore, but like the Radio Shack old kind of stores, they had those like games where you could put a headband on and you can use your brain waves to move a ball around or something like that. So this isn't really a new concept, but it's definitely new technology and a new upgraded, just crazy way to merge
new technology is that it's read and write. So we've always looked at kind of mental control even as, hey, it's just something that we write, that we can dictate to other things, we can control other things or whatever else. But the concept of, hey, not only sending out information but also seamlessly receiving that information directly to our brain, to where we can actually process it as understandable information. That is a concept that I've never heard of, even in sci-fi shows and movies and books. What you almost always see is that symbiosis that happens. It's almost voice control. It's some other control mechanism. It is not just the firing of neurons in the brain, and then the computer fires those neurons back to give me my answers. So it's new. It's already being worked. There's pictures of poor mice with holes in their head and literally a USB port coming off of their skull. That's no bullshit. Like they plug this mouse into the computer. So that's step one. They've also done tests on apes where they've put in these sensors, cruder than what they have available to us now, but like older versions of it, and the apes were able to control like computer mice and able to control aspects on a computer screen. So it's being worked. And
all I know is if I have a USB on the back of my head, if it don't charge my phone, I'm mad as fuck.
But they're
so they got to figure out a way to take our kinetic energy so I can charge my iPhone as I walk around the street. Because if not, I don't want no USB on my dome.
Yeah, but there's other uses for it too that I think would be beneficial, even in the medical realm and other stuff. There's brain scanning.
These are crazy times.
They talk about it that there's brain scanning stuff that they use for like Parkinson's patients, and the current version that they have right now can already get 1,000 times more data points and measurements.
Well, think about how this would affect a Stephen Hawking. Yeah. You know what I mean? Imagine if we had this technology from the beginning of Stephen Hawking's career. You know, the man came up with such brilliant ideas and theories with the most hindering, life debilitating diseases you could possibly have.
I mean, you'll get Luke Skywalker level prosthetics that could just actually be controllable digit prostheses that you can do very, very seamlessly with your mind.
The things they could do with prosthetics with this technology, you know, finger movements, hands, limbs, and things like that. It's scary to think about, but
only a 4 millimeter hole. 4 millimeter hole in your brain and a sensor. That's all you need.
Yeah, well, I have a couple jokes in my head about 4 millimeter hole, but I'm gonna keep those to myself. So yeah, look up Neuralink, folks. Do some research on it because it will really blow your mind. This is we're living in crazy times. 2020s are gonna be what the kids say lit.
Yeah,
the 2020s are gonna be lit.
Again, go watch Elon Musk talk about it because one, his dry humor towards talking about like real science, real stuff, it always makes me laugh. He's very awkward there. So listen to it for that. Stick around for some science and then let us know what you let
he
us
is the fucking Hank, you think. He's the fucking Hank Scorpio of the world, man.
All right,
let's
San Diego Comic-Con.
This fucking
we
Comic-Con
have not bought us any time yet. So we're at about the same point on round two.
We have not shaved any time off from our first time whatsoever.
What we're going to try to do is actually stick to rapid fire through San Diego Comic-Con, which we earlier didn't know what that term meant. So, ready. No more wasting time. San Diego Comic-Con. Hey, we're going to start non-Marvel news because Marvel's going to eat up most of what we talk about because they had the biggest panel, the most news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con. So going away from there, we got the Picard trailer as number one. Hit it.
Which I really enjoy the Picard trailer. I wasn't a Trekkie growing up. I was a football playing homecoming king type guy. I was that dude in high school. But at home, I was a big nerd. I never went out, you know, in public and let my nerd just kind of be out there. So I never really got into the Next Generation that was around that time for me. But seeing the Picard trailer really makes me want to just go binge it all and get caught up and know the Easter eggs that they put in the trailer for all the Trekkie fans. Like it really got me inspired to embrace my inner Trekkie.
Yeah, I agree. I really actually want to go back. I never got into the Next Generation. I watched episodes here and there. I've seen a decent amount of it, but I've never sequentially watched through seasons of it. And I really want to because I'm more of a sci-fi guy than like science fantasy. I would be way more into Star Trek than I would be Star Wars if there just wasn't so much to get caught up to in Star Trek. And maybe Picard's the one that's going to win me over. Maybe I'll go back and watch some really old bad sci-fi by today's standards, but good stories.
Yeah, the only downside I see with it is that it's going to be on the CBS All Access streaming network. So it's again another fucking streaming site you got to sign up for if you want to get all this content. sign up on Patreon, give me a couple bucks, I'll join. I will. You know, like, get yourself a Nerd Cantina sticker and I will get access to Picard and let y'all all know what the down low is on that. But all right, let's wrap up Picard.
But right, we're trying to cut it does look time. Great. It's an interesting, it's 2 decades after the Next Generation, so it's picking up with a retired old Picard, and it looks pretty cool. All right, next one that I think was,
we got a bunch of HBO news. Bunch of HBO news. My favorite
trailer series or HBO release on this one, which is the Watchmen trailer.
That looks very interesting. Again, it's past the Watchmen movie. We're going further into the timeline. The second trailer gives you a little bit more detail about what the show is actually going to be about. Vigilante cops. It's very kind of still murky a little bit, but the clouds are starting to thin out. You do get to see kind of what this show is going to be. They do release some other hints as to who's going to be in the show. Looks really interesting, man. I was a Watchmen fan of the movie. I thought it was really well done. I think this show is going to really hit the ground running.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be really kind of keep that same tone as the graphic novel and the movie. It's going to be dark. It's going to be pretty gritty. It looks like that. The actors are well casted for it. Yet at the very end of the trailer, you get what you think is probably Dr. Manhattan coming back. But even just finding out, you know, him living out in Mars and all that other stuff. It all looks like it's going to be great. I will definitely be tuning in to watch that one. Yeah.
For all the Blue Dong fans, it's on HBO. You're going to get them.
It's coming.
It's going to be inevitable.
Blue Dong in your face.
Brace yourself.
It's on its way.
Brace yourself.
So yeah, we're definitely looking forward to that Watchmen one.
We got a new Dark Materials trailer. So that again, just a little bit more in depth of a trailer, leads you to, you know, more of the plot, the storyline, gives you some more characters. It's really getting you prepared for these fall releases, which is coming up right around the corner.
Yeah.
You know, so it's trying to get their audience ready for that episode.
Yeah,
one
Dark Materials one, it looks a lot like what the movie and the source material, the book, it looks like it's really just following a retelling of that. So it's nothing. It doesn't look like it's branching off. It looks like it's following that first story there. So, which is a great first story. It gets really weird after that. So we'll see what happens with the show.
Yeah, with these trailers, I don't think they're trying to really let people know what the show is. I think they're just trying to reassure fans of where that they're not going to fuck it up. You know. So with Watchmen, with Dark Materials, they're just saying, we know you guys know what the content is. Here, we're taking our time with it. We're going to do it right.
But they
here's
do
a little,
really
here's
cover
a little
the,
bit more.
The adopted girl and the kids getting snatched and it's the movie / book story. It is not like an offshoot. Yeah. It's not a follow up. It is a retelling of the original story. So, but it looks great. So it's another one.
Third trailer from HBO dropped. They dropped Westworld season 3. Again, they're picking it up right where they left off. If you're not a Westworld fan, if you haven't checked it out, I highly suggest you check it out with the way Neuralinks and AI and robots are going, man. It's a really good show on kind of, as we get more technologically advanced, we as humans are starting to revert back to more of our savage instincts, I guess you could say. And it's a really good play on where this our future could possibly head.
Yeah, that's the best part about the show is just especially the first season. Once you get set down in the first season, you just think, which one of these people would I be? Like which journey would I choose? Would I go hump me some AI, some robots? Would I go kill me some AI, some robots? A little bit of both. You're probably going one of them, though.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. Yeah, you don't have to lie to be a part of the cantina.
There's not too many people picking option C. Yeah. You're either going to fight it or you're going to fuck it. Like, it's going to be one of the two.
Yeah, you don't have to hide your inner demons from us here at the cantina. It's all right. We're all deviant,
no
terrible human beings. So yeah, Westworld, it's a great show. It's a great concept. Season 3 looks like it's just going to continue picking up where it left off. So if you're a fan, keep watching it, I guess. Moving on.
Sticking with HBO, there was something funny that we thought came out of the Game of Thrones panel.
So yeah, one of my favorite headlines that I saw that I looked into was that the actor who plays Jamie Lannister, he said she got booed on the Game of Thrones panel as he was defending the final season, and the audience members are just ruthless. And the best part of it all is that the showrunners, who are really to blame for any bad direction that the show went, they canceled on San Diego Comic-Con 2 days beforehand and just left the actors up there to defend it. And they had to have known that it was coming. And it seems like such a really gutless way to go. And I love it.
Oh, yeah. They didn't just throw them under the bus. They dastardly tied them to the tracks, and you know, watching that train come down, that is just such a shitty thing to do. And it's kind of like they're just like, we got Star Wars, fuck y'all, you one-handed motherfucker, you take them booze, son, and we about to go be Jedis in this bitch. And they just boned out on all their Game of Thrones fucking money. Like, oh my god, it's so brutal, it's so savage. But you know, you can't really feel too bad for these people.
No, I don't. But it, like I said, I just laugh at them. I think it's awesome. I always find the audiences to be savage, and they have absolutely no chill or respect. So that's fun. All right, move on to some movie talk.
We got some movie news. We got a new Terminator trailer and kind of like a little bit of behind the scenes with it. They released that it's going to be rated R, which gives me hope for the future of movies. I really like that movie studios aren't backing away from R-rated movies anymore. We had a couple decades where after the 80s, you know, we had some good rated R movies in the 80s, you know, and they, in a marketing ploy to get bigger audiences, nothing was ever going to be past PG-13. So we had all these movies reining in the violence, reining in the content to make sure to maximize audiences. And it looks like we're going back to the fuck it. If you don't want your kid to see it, we don't want them there anyways. And we're going to blow some shit up. We're going to get some blood, some boobies.
Yeah.
You know, we're going back to those days again. And, I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. A rated R Terminator movie is right up my alley.
It really does look like pretty quick paced. It looks like the fighting styles are just ruthless. I get it. The robots fighting robots. There's no hard feelings there, but I mean, it's still like they're going at each other pretty hard. It's pretty interesting cinematography. And then
the second trailer, it's robots versus cyborgs. She does claim to be human. That is technically a cyborg for all our nerd fans out there.
So we'll see. She's got that Neuralink going.
The fact that they're bringing back all the original people, or as many as they can, you know, Eddie Furlong's joining back. We got, who plays Sarah Connor Hamilton? Is her last name? Is that it? Linda Sarah Hamilton, Connor. I think. Tweet us if we're wrong, but I'm pretty sure I fucking got it. So fuck y'all. It's going to be good.
Yeah, no, it really does look great. I think it's going to play out really well. So, the next movie, before we go into Marvel, it's hard to not get excited for a little bit of Top Gun.
Take my breath away.
There it is. And it didn't get better from the first take. It didn't get better.
But I couldn't deny our audience me hitting them high notes from the first show. So I threw it out. I threw it out there. Y'all thought I was going to hit you with the fucking danger zone. But no, man. It's that sweet, sweet love song.
All right, so the Top Gun trailer drops and it looks Top Gun-y. It looks great. I don't care. It should be cheesy.
Goose would be proud.
It should be cheesy dialogue between Captain Maverick and his boss. It should be.
But man, I am all for this. Yeah, I am living for this fucking movie. Great. I want Iceman gum smacking. I want sweaty volleyball scenes. We already seen the motorcycle chasing down the jet in the trailer.
And you got the sweaty football scene. They just replaced a volleyball with a football. There's a shirtless dude with a football.
Whatever. We're going current. Football's taking over the world. Yeah, I'm down. I'm down.
It is absolutely.
I want two things from this movie though. I want Meg Ryan. You got to give me Meg Ryan because I haven't seen her name in any of the promotional. You know, we know they got Val Kilmer again.
Meg Ryan, like a pissed off divorcee.
It's Goose's widow. Like, yeah, like Maverick's got to be his son's uncle. Yeah. You know, he's probably the godfather, you know. So maybe Goose's son is Maverick's new recruit at the Top Gun Academy.
Maybe.
So mom needs to come and visit the Top Gun. Just show her. Just show me. Just give me fucking Meg Ryan. It's not too much to ask for. And then Maverick's got to die. I'm sorry. Like, he's got to get shot down. He's got to meet Goose by the end of the movie. I don't even care if they kill Tom Cruise in the first 15 fucking minutes if that's how it goes down. But I gotta get me a dead Maverick by the end of the movie.
And this goes into your spirit animal being Iceman. So you just want to see Maverick die.
Well, I mean, yeah, I've said that on multiple occasions. Iceman is my spirit animal. I have a Iceman twirling the volleyball on his finger shirt that I wear to every 4th of July party that I go to every year, because you can't get more American than Iceman spilling a motherfucking volleyball on his finger. You know, so like, yeah, I embody all of what he represents.
All right, well, we're now at the Marvel point. Rapid fire our way through Marvel. Folks. So
rapid fucking
fire.
Marvel
had a spectacular panel. They haven't been in San Diego Comic-Con in over 2 years, and they came out blazing in this one, setting up the expectations for Marvel Phase 4, which looks great. It ties in the fact that, or it confirms that the fact that the Disney Plus shows are really a part of the Phase 4. They're not offshoots, like, you know, there was always Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that, but that there was just Easter eggs that they would throw in from the movies, but nothing that fed the movies.
You got to give Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. more credit than that, because
the movies,
they had a TV show.
You did not need to watch.
Bullshit. Man. Bullshit. I watch that show religiously. I watch every episode when it comes out. And when Civil War happened, or when was it Winter Soldier? So when Hydra was first announced, they had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was on the same track as the MCU. Winter Soldier released, Winter Soldier released. The next episode after the release of Winter Soldier, S.H.I.E.L.D. was all fucked up. It was all Hydra. They dismantled. It went hand in hand with the fucking movie. The Friday it released, the next episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. was all fucked up because now Hydra was in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. was broken up. They disbanded. So that took very
coordinated effort.
Extensive coordination. And like, so you got to give S.H.I.E.L.D. a little bit more credit than that.
Maybe. I only watched the first 2.5 seasons, maybe.
You haven't even watched Stranger Things yet, so we're not basing
rapid fire
your knowledge
rapid
of television
fire.
Shows.
So, we got let's stop focusing on my shortcomings.
So, all right, first phase four, we got Black Widow coming out
first, Black
right?
Widow's coming out first. Was the last one they introduced during the panel, just because they really brought everybody out there because they're really promoting that movie, which is coming out in May 2020. Really didn't glean a ton about it, other than you get a confirmation like Rachel Weisz is in there. Rachel Weisz, in a short interview afterwards, talks about being a Black Widow, being a part of the Black Widow program. So it kind of lends itself towards an assassin.
Yeah, they
group.
Said there was multiple Black Widows, and you didn't know kind of what that meant exactly. And they kind of gave you a little bit more information on that.
And they confirmed that it is set in Budapest. There are parts that are set in Budapest. So maybe we get that backstory that we've been getting referenced to throughout the Marvel movies. And otherwise, it looks good. It's a good cast. I'm sure it's going to play out well.
Next up, we had the Eternals. They brought the entire Eternals cast out there. Angelina Jolie.
Selma Hayek.
Nanjiani was out there. The dude who played Rob Stark, I think, is he's playing the main Eternal. Looks like a great cast. I have all the Eternal comics. All they did was raise the value of my comic book issues, so I'm down for that any day. Yeah, I like the Eternal stories. Like I said, I have the issues. I read the story. I like when they dig into the crates of Marvel, the Marvel bins to pull these stories out. Worked for Guardians. There's no reason why you can't bring some of the lesser known characters out, and I think they do a better job by bringing those out because there's less expectations on the movie when they don't know, when people don't know anything about these characters.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear how they tie in the Immortals that have been around for 35,000 years but decided to take a vacay during Endgame. Really curious to see how they tie it into the current Phase 4 plan.
Yeah, they do a really good job of just making the what happened in Endgame inconsequential to many powerful Marvel entities. You know, I'm only wiping out half of known existence. Not like you need to show up, guys.
Yeah, no big deal. But Eternals, the cast. I don't know much about the Eternal story. I have not read the graphic novels, but the cast is top notch to have an ensemble cast, a lot of really, really big names, great actors. So looking forward to it. And then that's going to end out 2020. So there's the only two movies they have scheduled for next year. And then they'll kick off the following year with Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings.
So we should get an actual Mandarin in this one. They didn't release too many details about this. It's basically just the title, you know, and what people know about this title leads people into believing that, you know, we're going to get a good Mandarin. It's going to be a good story. We don't really know how it's going to play into the MCU as a whole. You know, if it's just going to be a basic one-off, but, we'll see where they go. I'm all for it. Some new content that isn't based off of, you know, the whole linear MCU that's taken place before.
Yeah, and it may be a new name. I didn't know the actor they cast for Shang-Chi. So looking forward just to seeing what that turns out to be. That's February 2021. And then a quick turn after that for Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness.
I have mixed feelings about. I like the fact that they announced that it's going to be Marvel's first take on like a horror movie,
a high suspense
so,
movie.
So it's going to be more of the horror genre, which would be a refreshing new take on the superhero genre and the MCU. I'm all for that. But the title Multiverse of Madness, I'm not a fan of how they handled the multiverse in Endgame. Anybody that listened to Fight Me Friday knows exactly how I feel about that. So I hope they use it to clean it up, you know, so maybe they have plans to clean up the multiverse since they're going to use it so much in the Disney Plus subscriptions and the future movies. So my hope is that they're going to tighten it all down and give us a real clear set of rules and path that uses the multiverse, or they're just going to play fast and loose with it, and I'm going to walk out the theater mad than a motherfucker.
Very, very high potential there. But like you said, maybe they use the Doctor Strange movie, that maybe he put some kind of repair to what could be an endless amount of rewriting and, you know, changing storylines. Then maybe somehow he puts a cap to that. I'm excited for it, though. Doctor Strange is one of my favorite characters in the MCU. I love
Benedict Cumberbatch. Love Benedict Cumberbatch.
I love him, and I love the character. I love the sorcery and the way he manipulates the environment. And then you got Scarlet Witch is confirmed to be in this movie. She came out on that panel. She will be a part of it. And her show, WandaVision, which we'll talk about here in a second, will feed directly into that movie. So it's definitely a strong movie in the slate for May 2021. And then you've got one more movie in 2021, which is in November, and that's gonna be Thor, which is the Love and Thunder movie.
Again, could go. We'll see where they take it. I have to at least give them the benefit of the doubt. They brought the same director from Ragnarok in. I wasn't too happy with Ragnarok when I first seen it, just because I didn't like the tone of the movie at first. It didn't really fit in well with the previous renditions of Thor. But now that's kind of grown on me, we'll see where they take the character. They can't ruin him much more than they did in Endgame. So hopefully they bring it back. I'm all for a female Thor. It's comic accurate. I have those comics too. Make those worth a couple more bucks. Maybe I'll get Natalie Portman to sign one at a con one day. You know, I'm a huge Natalie Portman fan. I'm glad she's came back to the franchise and patched up whatever her and Marvel's beef were.
Yeah, I think it's super weird
before
that she's coming back. Super weird. I didn't go confirm. You argue that you think that she did some deleted scene for Endgame.
I read an article that her scene in Endgame hit the cutting room floor for time. you know, and we did say that if they were trying to cut time, they could have cut a few more fucking things.
Quite a few other things.
Could have fucking cut a few more things on that movie besides Natalie Portman that I would have enjoyed seeing. But I mean, they do reference her in every movie that Thor's in, you know, even in Ragnarok.
Yeah, but it's almost like jokes about them breaking up. Reference to her, like, you just know something's not right. Like, and then now for her to come back, it's like, oh yeah, I get to be Thor now. Okay, I'm in. I wasn't willing to do this before, but now I'm in.
Natalie Portman's a badass, man. I will watch anything Portman and Kendrick. You put those two actresses in a movie, Portman, Kendrick, and Blunt. Yeah, those three women can do no wrong in my eyes. I'll go watch anything they do. So the fact that Portman signed on and they're giving her Mjolnir, fucking, I'm down,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, like so it's true to the comics. I'm curious. You know, she gets the hammer because Thor loses it. He's no longer worthy. I know she has like cancer in the comics and everything else. So we'll be curious to see what kind of how tightly they stick to that story, but.
We also get our first official LGBTQ character in Valkyrie. She's going to be the new Queen of Asgard looking for another
queen. She called herself
queen?
The King of Asgard looking for a queen.
Which I don't, I don't want to get tweeted at.
Yeah.
You know, don't tag me on this, bro, but I don't know how the semantics really work
that. I think it's if king is it is the male term of that I don't know, it's weird to me, but still she claimed to be the king looking for the queen, and it's known that she in the comics is a bisexual character, so here in this movie she's confirmed that she will be playing in the LGBTQ,
which I'm fine with. I just hope they do it justice and don't try to just shove a message down our throat, you know, of inclusion and stuff. Yeah. I just hope that she's just the same character she was in Ragnarok. We just know more about her sexuality and we move fucking on. I don't want to be taught.
There's a good story to be had here,
Thor movie.
Following the comic arc, or there's a cheap way to do it where it's a, you know, woman's empowerment Thor and a LGBTQ superhero rom-com on the Asgardian side, but hopefully they will do it. I'm hoping that they keep a good tone and just tell a good story with good characters, and that takes us out of the movies. And well, actually, it takes us out of the Phase 4 movies. So there's more that they announced as we get to Phase 5, but there's Phase 4 still has the TV shows. So we'll talk about Disney Plus TV shows. First one, let's hit. We'll do the Loki show, which is going to follow Loki immediately after he steals the Tesseract from Endgame, which was brand new news. A lot of what they were talking about before was that the Loki show was going to be like Kid Loki, Asgardian Loki, but now we're getting bad Loki, villain Loki from Avengers 1 when he was still a shithead
in animated form also. So this isn't going to be a live action show. You're not going to get Hiddleston. Running around. This is going to be an animated show. Marvel, I think, is trying to compete now with DC's high quality animation. So this is going to be their attempt to kind of bring their animation wing up to a higher caliber. And I hope they do it right. You know, again, we're playing with the multiverse though, which scares the fuck out of me, man. It just really does. To me, the multiverse could be where the MCU jumps the shark. You know, this could be their Fonz moment. And, you know, for us old, our younger listeners that don't know what jump the shark means, Google that shit.
Now, you just said that it's animated. I honestly didn't know that. I don't know how I missed that. Is that a truth statement there? Is this an animated show?
I'm 99% positive. Loki and What If are their animated
tweet
shows.
Tweet at us if maybe I just missed that somewhere in the announcements, but I thought it was a live action. So I'm curious.
Yeah, no, it's I want to say Loki and the What If series are both animated.
Interesting. Well, we can talk about the What If show.
The reason why I know I'm 100% on the What If show is because at the convention they did announce that every actor that is in a What If that was in a previous cinematic movie will be the voice actors for their characters. So you will get, you know, if Iron Man's in it, you will get a Downey doing the voiceover. You'll get Evans doing the Captain America. You'll get all the actors that played those characters will be doing the voiceovers for their animated versions in this What If. And I have a lot of What If issues. The What If issues are really fun to do because you don't take them too seriously. It's just, you know, it's like a comic version of you and your buddies sitting around a room and literally asking the question, well, what if this happened instead?
Yeah, I've read some articles about like what are some good What If arcs that should make it into the What If show. And there's like, you know, there's one where it's a combination Spider-Man / Punisher, which looked ridiculous, of a black suit wearing Spider-Man with guns all on his arm and whatever else. So there's a lot of weird things in that What If, I think. I've never looked into it, but I want to now.
Yeah, so for those who have seen me on our first YouTube review, I my backdrop's my comic book shelf. I have all my proudest issues on my shelf behind me, but in the 8 boxes of comics upstairs, I'm going to have to start digging through and pull out some of my old What Ifs to see kind of what I have up there, and you know, maybe they'll do some of those on the show and up those values too. give me more dollars, Marvel. Give me more dollars.
All right, and then, you know, another show. We've got the Hawkeye show, which looks like it by the art, it looks like it's gonna follow the comic arch. I can't remember.
Again, I failed. I had this. This is our take two, and I had an opportunity to look up the female Hawkeye's character's name again, and I fucking forgot again. So I'm gonna butcher this, but there is a comic, The Young Avengers, with younger versions of all the original characters, and the female Hawkeye in The Young Avengers is confirmed going to be trained by Hawkeye in this TV show. So they are setting up a Young Avengers arc. And once again, I'm very proud to own all 12 of those issues. I have a few of them signed. That was like one of those things that they didn't print that many. They didn't think that was going to take off. So like that's actually probably one of my more valuable stacks. So the fact that they're bringing all these characters in the MCU, I'm really excited. I put a bunch of my friends onto the Young Avengers. It was a great story arc. They invoke Kang the Conqueror, and with all this time travel in the MCU, I'm really hoping we get a good Kang story in there somewhere, and this might be what leads up to it.
And then Falcon and Winter Soldier, which we all knew was going to happen, and it looks to be the same banter you get from the movies, the same relationship they have.
Yeah, did they release any like other details out about it? They just said, "Hey, we haven't canceled it yet, folks. Here they are. Like here they are."
Yeah, the only like joke they did on stage was the actor who plays Falcon handing over the shield to Winter Soldier and saying, "Here, you take it for a little while," which, you know, could play into the comics because both of them are Captain America's at different points in different stories for Marvel. So who knows? But yeah, no details came out of that. And then you get WandaVision as the last show, this part of Phase 4. And like I said, WandaVision is going to play.
It sounds like a 1970s fucking, you know.
Like
our next Marvel movie out in theaters, shot in WandaVision.
I thought you were going to say it was more of like a Miss Cleo thing.
No, like, yeah, it just sounds like, you know, the new Technicolor for Marvel, you know.
But you get Scarlet Witch, which is a great character. It's going to feed into Doctor Strange as she's going to be in Doctor Strange in 2021. And then they're bringing back Vision, which I don't know how they are, but Paul Bettany was on stage. And, you know, maybe they got a hard drive somewhere with a backed up version of Vision, and they're going to resurrect him. So we'll see how that all plays out. And that wraps up everything that they announced for Phase 4. And then there was some light just as far as a teaser information, no teaser trailers, about what Phase 5 looks like and some of the movies they have going forward.
Yeah, so Phase 5, we know there's a Captain Marvel 2, but we all knew that. No details. Black Panther 2 is confirmed. We kind of
knew that.
You knew there was no way they were going to fucking leave that at 1. So we all knew that. The ones that really people were glad that they came out and said is that they are for sure bringing Fantastic Four into the MCU. They are for sure going to have the Dawn of the Mutants in the MCU soon. And what I think was the best news to come out of that panel is they're rebooting Blade with one of the best actors of the last decade in Mahershala Ali. I think he's a phenomenal actor. I will see anything he does at this point after what he's done on, what was it, True, the HBO cop show that he did, True Crime, is it? And his latest movie choices, he just recently won an Oscar, so they have a, you know, an Oscar winning actor playing the next Blade. I don't know how it's gonna play into. I don't know how proficient he is in Kung Fu. You know, like Wesley Snipes has been Blade for so long that it's gonna be hard to disassociate Snipes from the Blade character. But if there's any actor who can do it, it is for sure Ali.
Yeah, it's a great casting. It's cool to see that be brought into the MCU. Looking forward to that one. And it's really the main points coming out of Marvel. But again, that's a lot coming out of Marvel for a single event. I feel bad for anybody else who thought they were going to get some hype coming out of Comic-Con. You guys probably spent a lot of PR money and you got nothing because Marvel squashed you.
Yeah, they released the next season of Walking Dead trailer. No one gave a shit. They released a lot of other like TV show trailers and things like that. But Hall H took front and center of everything, you know, because... you know, Endgame was like a big bookend and nobody knew kind of how Marvel was going to handle it going forward. And they, you know, oh, you thought the superhero genre was saturated? Well, yeah. Fuck you.
We're doubling down.
Here's not only a shit ton of movies, but we're coming out with our own streaming service and we're going to ram a bunch of TV shows down your throat too.
So, but like
it's,
whatever.
It's an interesting time.
Eat it all up. But that ends our talk for the wrap-up of San Diego Comic-Con. Man.
Did we shave some minutes off?
We got
off?
Like 1 minute off, so you're welcome. We did this twice to give you one more minute of your day, guys. So thanks for...
I would just like to state that human error was not on this end of the country.
No, it was not.
The golden boy.
Yeah, it's hard to say how deeply disappointed in myself I am.
I was going to say, I wish to God... that the Nerd Cantina listeners could see and hear the level of frustration in your text messages and your sheer disappointment in yourself. Like I've never seen, I think, this height of disappointment in yourself since we were kids. So to see you humble at this moment was worth me taking an extra hour out of my day to do this again.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's the last time, but thanks for listening to version 2 of the Nerd Cantina Show, episode 25. As always, we request that you join the community over at thenerdcantina.com/community. It is our favorite thing to do during the day is to go in there and check what we've got brewing. As everybody, if you weren't paying attention to what was going on in San Diego Comic Con, but you were part of the group, don't worry. Everybody was sharing articles. We were talking about it as it was happening throughout the days. It's a great place to just be a nerd, talk to fellow nerds, and debate some of what's going on. So please join the community.
Yeah, we're making a lot of friends in there, and I'm really happy to see some of our outside of our own social networks and friends of friends of friends joining. I like that we've gotten a handful of podcast listeners that are joining up just from hearing our podcast and want to be part of the group and being a part of that. So I'm really excited with where the group's going. We're almost at 250 members strong, trying to get to that 500 mark now. So join up. Enjoy the memes. Enjoy the conversation and be a part of the cantina.
And then, after the second recording here, I just want to remind everybody that we are always shaking our digital can, requesting them those quarters.
I want to mail more stickers, guys. I want to mail more stickers. Give me a reason to buy stamps.
So if you're finding some entertainment here, we can do a better job of maybe hiring somebody to teach me how to do these things appropriately and save us all some time. And we can grow this community faster. We can build this podcast better. So please support us over at patreon.com/the Nerd Cantina. We appreciate any
And if
support.
You are listening to this and you do want to take a more active role in production of our show and website, and you have some things that you think you might be able to offer, email us. You know, send an email to ken@thenerdcantina.com or steve@thenerdcantina.com. If you're a social media guru, if you're a top-notch audio editor, if you know how to, you know, make logos, do whatever. If you want to pitch in, we'll take the help. We are not too proud to beg.
It's our going theme. Ain't too proud to beg.
So we'll take all the help we can get. We both have kids and families, and we only have so much time that we can dedicate towards getting us out there. So any little help, if you ain't got a dollar but you got a skill, we'll take that too.
Well, thanks, thanks, nerds, for listening, and we'll
try to one-shot this next week, huh?
All right. Farewell. Real quick, we just wanted to mention one of our favorite new apps, which is PodCoin. So assuming that because you're listening to our podcast today that you happen to be a podcasting nerd, and if you are, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to get paid for your time.
I'm a big fan of getting paid to do stuff that I do in my daily routine anyways. I have signed up for all the rewards programs possible. And with PodCoin, you actually get paid to listen to podcasts. So every minute that goes by that you're listening to your podcast, you are throwing away potential money.
So go ahead, download PodCoin app on either through iTunes or through the Google Play Store. And when you sign up with the promo code NERDCANTINA.
One word. That'll get you 300 free coins towards your account and get you on your way to earning that first reward from either Amazon gift card, Target gift cards, all kinds of things. You could also donate your coins to your favorite charity that they offer. If you're going to be listening to podcasts anyways, you might as well get some free stuff for doing it. So download the PodCoin app, put in the code NERDCANTINA, get your free coins, and start earning money while you listen to our show.